Welcome to The Craft Life. In every episode, we'll dive deep into the rabbit hole of all things branding and marketing within the craft beer industry. Be prepared to be injected with tips, processes, and ideologies from those in the industry that are executing in a unique and creative fashion. If you're looking for ways to cut through all that noise and find or redefine your craft by creating long-lasting impressions, memorable experiences, all while having consistency in your attitude, belief, and values, then The Craft Life is a good fit for your life. Let's get crafting. Episode 18, Owning a Bottle Shop, The Craft Beer Seller Story. Welcome everybody to episode 18 of The Craft Life. For this episode, I'm kicking in here in Fort Lauderdale at the Craft Beer Cellar with the co-founders and owners, Eddie and Amy. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
I'm super blessed to be here with you guys today, and thank you both for the opportunity, for coming on the podcast and the work that we're going to do in the future in the next couple of months. For everyone who is listening, at least if you're listening before August 2021 or at least August 31st, 2021, we're going to have two unique events here happening at the Craft Beer Cellar in the future. Super excited. Definitely stay tuned to that. One of the dates I want to tease you guys with, I don't know if you guys be checking out our Facebook and Instagram, is 10-10-21. So make sure you mark your calendars. We're launching something called the Project Savage Life. I'm not going to talk anything more about it, but to stay tuned to that. And also in August, we'll be giving away something for free, something really dope we think that you guys are going to enjoy. It's going to be right here at CBC. So definitely check that out. Well, enough about me. All right. Enough about this. Enough about, I'm so fortunate to have the opportunity to work with you guys for two more events coming up in the future. So let's spend the next 20, 30 minutes to talk about you guys, all right? So a lot of people are probably, if you're listening to me, probably asking, if you haven't been here before, what exactly is the Craft Beer Cellar? Well, it's a bottle shop and it's super dope. If you haven't had a chance to come out here, definitely come out here and check. But it's just more than a bottle shop. You have a tap room, a beautiful remodeled waterfront beer garden, super dope. We actually tried to do the interview out there, but Mother Nature had other plans for us. she basically was telling everybody, you got to come out here and check it out for yourself. So, and they also have food. Empanadas are the bomb. You have rotating draft, over 100 beers here, right here for you to actually enjoy here or take home to go. So lastly, just got to say the beer garden is fuego, man. Good job on that. Good job. So welcome, Eddie. Welcome, Amy, to the episode of The Craft Life. Thank you guys for joining us today and explore everything about the bottle shop and everything that you guys have created over here. So who's up first? Any, mini, money, mo.
We're united.
So classically, every time we start, man, I just like to get a little bit of background about what you guys were doing before craft beer. So whoever wants to go ahead and chime in to kind of give context to the creation of this beautiful spot.
Yeah. I guess it goes back to college. When I was in college, I went to the Art Institute. I graduated with a bachelor's in marketing and advertising there.
It's AI, right?
Yeah. I was down in Miami, in downtown. And I got to work on some pretty cool projects. And one of the first projects I worked on was looking at advertising from Budweiser, from back in the vintage Budweiser advertising, comparing it to their modern day advertising, and just seeing how that kind of has progressed over time. And sure enough, I got kind of into Budweiser. I started drinking a ton of Budweiser. I was my go-to beer. No Bud Light, just straight up Budweiser. Mm. And one day I went to a restaurant and a gentleman there introduced me to a Weihenstephaner, the Hefeweiss beer, and a Apollinaire Hefeweiss beer.
Let's frame this. What year was this?
Man, I want to say that was 2000.
Get on that mic.
2013, probably 14.
I want to say it was 2012.
We're old school beer numbers.
2012. I want to say around that time.
Okay, good.
So yeah, that was my first taste of something that wasn't Budweiser, and it completely blew me away. I immediately fell in love, and I just kept on going to that place and trying new beers. They had a lot of imports and Belgians, and I just immediately fell in love with Delirium, the Hefeweizens, and man, it was just all downhill from there. And so I worked on another project before the end of my school year, the end of my time there at school at the AI, and that project was called The Brewmaker, which is the name of our parent company right now. And the concept was that, it was actually a fictitious company that we created, which a Brewmaker would create and brew beers for special occasions. Like say, hey, you were going to have a wedding. You'll reach out to the brew maker and tell them, hey, I want to brew this kind of beer. We'll brew this beer. We'll package it for you. But not only for weddings, even if you just want it for home. You didn't want to like...
So this was a concept that you created?
It was a concept that I created, yeah.
It's pretty smart.
That love for beer just kind of continued. And, you know, around the time that I was graduating from AI, Wynwood Brewing was just getting ready to open up down in Wynwood, Miami. I was keeping a close eye on that. I was very intrigued. They were one of the first like breweries to open up down in Miami. I know Abbey came before them, and there's a few other breweries that are like really low key before that. But Wynwood was just kind of like putting it all out there, you know, taking you through their process. And I was just kind of like infatuated with it. It became like, hey, this might be something I want to do.
Nice.
You know, I felt like that was a passion that I had. So this year I thought I wanted to open up a brewery, but I wasn't really brewing any beer. So,
Well, Mathieu, what did you do? What did you do after high school? What did I college?
When I graduated,
you got into the beer, like talk.
I didn't really get into a whole lot of beer. I got into sales.
Sales is super important.
Sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. I did digital marketing sales for the Miami Herald. I sold a lot of promotional products for breweries and all kinds of things, selling glassware, growlers, and for all kinds of companies. I mean, I sold every kind of promotional product out there, but I focused heavily on glassware. And yeah, after that, I started selling printing materials. And I did that for a company in Pompano, and we would sell wholesale print materials to print shops like Fast Signs and Cineramas and different models.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So yeah, I sold them printers, inks, you know, vinyls, papers, all kinds of different things that they need to complete their work. So, and then that was my last gig. And then we kind of realized like, hey, we've been saving money for some time with the idea of, hey, we're going to open a brewery, but we went a different route. Decided to do a bottle shop instead.
I actually come from, I guess I was working title real estate for many years, like 6 years or something like that. I thought I wanted to be a real estate attorney, went to school for it, did not like it. My personality is not for an attorney, that's for sure. And I just kind of just left that and started doing journalism, which I've always liked writing. So I graduated with a degree in journalism, with a minor in creative writing, photography, like all the things, because I wanted to just learn everything. So after that, while that was in school, I would intern at a fashion magazine that was a sustainability. And then I worked at an ocean conservation company. So that's pretty much what I was doing right before we opened here. So I was back kind of doing everything at the same time.
Very cool.
But yeah, I basically left real estate because I don't want to do something I don't like. Life is too short.
No, absolutely. So you guys definitely have the background and the tools necessary to, you know, start something in the craft beer industry. So how long has CBC been open for?
So we officially opened our doors. Our grand opening was on October 2019.
Yeah.
So close to 2 years now.
Yeah, right before COVID.
Right before COVID hit. So we're just getting our wheels spinning right in February or March.
And it was
funny. There's like a lot of breweries that opened up around that time.
Yeah.
It's like You, Yeasty, Orchestrated. There's like a lot of open up around that same time synergy. But it's great to see that you guys made it through COVID and everything like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thankfully. Absolutely. Very thankful about that.
So you guys basically got your mind together. Craft beer was something that you guys wanted to do for your future, something craft beer centric. What led you into doing the bottle shop concept?
So yeah, I mean, like I said, we thought we wanted to open up a brewery, but you know, honestly, we never we grew beer, but it wasn't like something that we did as a hobby. Not enough to warrant, you know, opening up a brewery.
Gotcha.
Like I believe, like if I'm going to do something, I want to be passionate about it. I want to be
and knowledgeable.
Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to give you a bad tasting beer.
No, for sure.
And you know, in that whole mix, we did a lot of traveling. We went to go, you know, a lot of places
in Oregon,
Oregon and Asheville. We noticed that these places have bottle shops.
Yeah,
and
pretty
places
dope
you can
ones.
Go to. And that they're just solely focused on craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of blew us away because there's not a lot of places like that down here in South Florida. I mean, we're used to Total Wine and ABC Liquors and Whole Foods and, you know, what we can find around, at least at that time. I know there's a few little bottle shops that have popped out since then, but, you know, it seems like it's something that's a rarity down here in South Florida. So I felt like having a bottle shop was kind of, you know, something that was needed here.
And we also would go to these bottle shops and we were like, we can't find the beer we want. There was a lack in education coming from somebody like I used to drink Bud Light, so I wanted to learn more. So when I would go to these places, I felt like the employees wouldn't really help you. There was like a connection, like a loss of connection between the education part of the beer. The beer shelves would be all crazy. You wouldn't know what's there. The tag would be missing. So we thought, like, I kept telling him, like, I wish I could have a bottle shop that I could just go to and get the beer I want and actually have somebody direct me to try new things, you know? So I think that's where, because in Oregon, all these places, they have that. So we were like, this is missing here. I feel like it would have been like a good place to open up in South Florida when to open the doors to other people wanting to drink beer, you know?
Oh, for sure. For sure. The synergy is there. So yeah. Absolutely. So for those out there that, you know, are toying with the concept of, you know, getting something started in the craft, you know, craft beer industry. If they wanted to start a bottle shop, like, walk us through the processes and licensing. You know, is it different from opening a brewery or is it the same? Like, just kind of give us kind of a little bit of insight on that.
So, I mean, I can't say that I would know what it would be like to open up a brewery. I'm guessing it might be a little bit stricter, right?
Yeah, and harder probably, yeah.
I mean, essentially you're making a product in-house for people to consume it. You're creating, you're brewing that product there and it's product that people are drinking, putting into their bodies. So I'm sure there's a lot more, you know, I guess, security measures and red tape you got to go through in order to, you know, be able to legally do that. To do it as a bottle shop, I'm not saying that that's not there. It's definitely there. There's still, you know, health and safety inspectors and everything you got to deal with. But walk you through it, basically, I mean, the first step is finding a location. And I honestly, in my opinion, I think that's one of the most important steps is finding a good location where, you know, people are going to be wanting to go to something that's convenient, something that has parking, you know, that kind of stuff. And that all kind of intertwines with the requirements of having a bottle shop. Like, cities have certain requirements. You have to have a certain number of parking spots so that you can have a place where you can sell alcohol legally. And, you know, once you have your location and it meets that criteria, then you have to start going through planning
the hard part.
And building this stuff out. Now, the tricky part and what kind of threw me off was that you actually have to have your location, right? You have to have your lease for your location before you can ever start talking to anybody about, hey, I want to get permitted and that kind of stuff.
Which is scary because if it's too much work in the city, you can't back out. You sign your lease. So,
right, so I'm already signing my lease.
We're like, this needs to work. And
if I don't get my permitting, what happens?
Yeah. Know? And you have to make friends with the people in the city.
So does the person like you're leasing from, do they give you like that leniency? Like if you guys got disapproved, like you can break the lease?
I mean, our guy told us, hey, you know, if for whatever reason you can't secure licensing, you can back out. But we had already paid a deposit. He's like, but I would keep the deposit that you paid. Yeah. Which is substantial. So, you know, you definitely don't want to lose out on that money. You're going to fight tooth and nail to find a way to
for sure, whatever
you got to do, you know? So, yeah, I mean, once that's out of the way, it's dealing with a lot of bureaucracy, honestly. It's, you know, a bunch of different departments within the city, within the state, that don't communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And they don't really give you a whole lot of guidance. So it's a lot of back and forth and say, hey, you know, what do I got to do next? Oh, you got to get this paper. Okay, I got that paper. What do I do next? Oh, you got to go get this paper. Oh, you got to talk to that department. And it's like, it's
hard.
It's jump through hoops. But, you know, we're very fortunate. The location that was here previously had a beer and wine license, a consume on-premise license.
Oh, this location?
Yeah, this used to be a cafe.
Which was actually active at the point when we leased this. So it made the process
a whole lot
of getting
easier.
That license a lot easier.
For sure.
For us. So, but either way, it was still very difficult as far as dealing with cities and getting, you know, permitted and all that stuff. So it is a process. You know, once you've gotten through that whole, you know, chain of events, you know, getting your permits and your licensing and that kind of stuff, then
after that, it's remodeling just, and
gravy, you know, remodeling, getting your beer and your inventory in and that kind of stuff.
The key is to just keep going to the city. Like, you have to go. Because, I mean, I come from real estate, so that's something that I would tell them. Like, you have to show up. You have to ask questions because they don't guide you. Unfortunately, they don't. And coming from us that we've never owned a business before, it's hard. So you just have to go all the time, ask questions, you know, nicely, try to be friends with them, and they'll work with you. No. And also, City of Florida was a little bit better considering like other cities that are a little bit harder.
It's got to be super annoying to these guys.
Yeah.
In their face. Yeah. So they help you get you out of their face. So the dynamic for you guys listening, you two are married. How does that work as far as like management? Like, do you guys have separate roles or is it kind of like you guys are just like.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's a third owner. She's not here today.
She's not here. It's Marta.
She's his mom.
and it's my mother, kind of like a three-headed monster, I like to think of it.
we all have different things.
We all have different wheelhouses. Yeah. You know, like me, I'm into, or what I take care of is mostly like ordering the beer, making sure that we got, you know, the best possible beer here, taking care of the shelves, inventory, that kind of stuff, day-to-day operations. Amy here, super talented, social media. She's the one that does all of our social media posts,
events, things like that,
coordinating events, all that kind of stuff. And lastly, Marta, my mother, she's kind of like the legal powerhouse.
Yeah.
She's got a strong background in legal and she's a paralegal.
Yeah.
And she kind of like helped us with all the forms and dealing with the city.
She also is a really good wine because we're not a very good wine. Yeah, we're learning our wine stuff, but so she's the wine, the wine guru.
She's really got her feet set down on the wine. Yeah. Our wine, you know, inventory is starting to expand. So she's kind of the one behind. She's the driving force behind that. She's great. We all really love beer. We're all Cicerone certified beer servers.
Oh, wow.
So we are educated about our products that we carry.
That's
here.
Awesome, man.
Anybody that walks into the door, whether you're just getting into craft beer or you're a seasoned pro, we can, you know, talk with you, hang with you, and show you the way, or, you know, point you in the direction of the next best beer.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, glad to hear all that. So let's talk about the relationship, because obviously the different beers that you guys have in here, you have to have different relationship with different distributors. So let's talk about that.
So, yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of different distributors. We work with, I want to say like six different distributors. Each distributors have their own contracts with certain breweries, and the beer that they bring in is, you know, solely at the discretion of the distributor. So a lot of people ask me, hey, you go to the brewery and you get this beer. I'm like, you know, no, unfortunately, there's a, you know, there's a system. It's a three-tier system. I have to purchase from a distributor before I can sell any beer to you. I can't purchase anything directly from. So working with distributors is all honestly about relationships, building relationships with your distributor sales rep, you know, stay on top of what products they got, the brands that they got, what products are coming in. And, you know, the sales reps for the distributors come in and they kind of give you a heads up on that stuff. Sometimes they send out emails that will give you a blast of, hey, this is new, this is what's coming in and whatnot. And that way you can order and, you know, provide some good beer.
Nice. So do you kind of get to choose the beers that coming from the distributor, or are you kind of like, hey?
Yeah, I mean, we do. There is a, I don't know how to say it, but like, since we're the new guys, you know, we don't have top priority in their list, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to say that they're doing it on purpose. It's just obviously we're the new guys.
Yeah.
So we choose what we want, but sometimes things don't, we don't get first choice.
We choose what we want, but breweries ultimately choose what they decide to send over
that
to
too.
The distributor.
Yeah, so we don't get everything.
There are certain instances in which you build relationships, and a lot of this industry is about those relationships. 100%. So if I build a relationship with, say, Chirping Animals down in Miami, and they have a new beer that came out, and I, you know, buddies with the guys down there, I can say, hey, man, you know, any chance I can get a keg of that? Mm-hmm. And then we can coordinate in a sense where they can give that keg to the distributor, and then I purchase it from the distributor from them.
Nice.
So that is a possibility. Yeah. You know, not usually the case, though. Most of the times it's whatever the, you know, brewer decides to send off to the distributor, and then that way we can bring those beers in.
Nice, nice. So do you guys have like a style of beer that you guys prefer? Or is kind of like you're just meeting the demand of the folks over here?
Yeah. We cater to everything. Yeah. Gotcha. Biggest thing. Like some people are like, they don't carry only independent breweries. And we're like, no, we carry. If it's craft beer, we carry it because there's people that like that beer. Why not? It might not be the coolest beer, but it's craft beer and we want to cater to everybody.
100%.
Want everybody to be welcomed here, you know? For sure. So we definitely don't have any discrimination on the beer we carry.
Yeah, no, we carry everything. I mean, obviously not everything. We don't carry Bud Light,
Budweiser, of course,
the macro beers and that kind of stuff. Those are the only things that we don't carry. But I try to keep something in here for everybody. Like I said, whether you're just getting into craft beer or you're a seasoned pro, you know, we have your beers that are just for your like regular customers. And then we have some rare, really rare, hard to find stuff as well.
So talk about the rare beers. I know he backed it up a little bit. So if there's any rare beers that you guys want, is that a difficulty to get that?
Yeah, we can't. So we get a lot of people asking us like, oh, Treehouse, if we get Treehouse and all these like other half. We do sometimes get those beers if, like he said, the brewery will allow it to come down here. But it's really hard, like, due to distribution, and especially that's up in, like, the Northeast and stuff like that. We don't get, we always try to get it for our customers, but it's not something that we could always carry. So, like, sometimes people call us and they're like, can you get me Treehouse? And it's like, we wish we could. I wish I could get in my car and go get it for you, but, you know.
I always try to get it.
Yeah, we always try to get it, but, you know, we got to follow the process, because if not, you know, we get shut down.
Yeah, for sure.
There's always a process to everything, so.
Yeah, and again, it's all based on relationships.
Yeah.
I don't want to say buying power, but, you know, obviously, if you're a huge store and you buy a ton more beer than I do, and you've got a great relationship with that rep, you're going to get first dibs on whatever beer stuff comes in.
It's all about networking and building those relationships.
You know, we'll get there.
We're still newbies.
We're still pretty new.
it's hard, because it's like, we are a family-owned business, so we try to keep everything in-house. So we're not working. It's like, these places are closed. So we're trying to work on, like, getting out there more and building more relationships with people.
Absolutely.
Well, Side Project Brewing, if you guys are ever in touch with them, you know, definitely get some.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be first in line for that. That's awesome, man. So let's move on, man. So what things do you find difficult owning a bottle shop, or just basically owning this location or anything like that? If you find anything difficult?
I mean, the parking was difficult. It was flooding, but they fixed it. So that was it. I mean, I think other than that.
I guess the most difficult thing is just keeping up to date with your inventory. You know, certain beers have a shelf life, for example, IPAs and that kind of stuff. So staying on top of that stuff, making sure that, you know, all your beer is in code and, available and fresh to your customers. I don't want to sell you a beer that's 5 months old. It's an IPA.
And I think breweries will appreciate that too, because
they send you
a product and you take the customer tasting and they're like, oh, I would never go to that brewery because they have, you know, not good beer, but well, it was 5 months old, so
That's very important.
Exactly. It's not their fault. You know, when they put that beer out fresh, that beer is amazing. You know, if it's been sitting on the shelf for 5 months, you know, it's not going to be as good. So it's really just staying on top of that, which is easier said than done. You know, there is a lot of things that we got to do around the store every day. So I would say that's the most difficult one, and making sure, you know, your customers are happy with the product.
Nice, yeah, definitely important, man. So the name, what made you guys choose a name?
Okay. So Crafty Start is actually a franchise. So we're the 50th store, I believe. Or
you guys are a franchise.
We're a franchise.
Yeah, it was the 50th store.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so it's a nationwide franchise. Yeah. They're all independently owned and operated. The owners are great. We did some shopping around and taking a look at different bottle shops. There's a couple of the franchises that we were interested in. We found these people to be the best.
They're women owned too, so I like that.
Yeah.
They're very about, their hashtag is beer love. So that's really the main reason why we got into business with them, because they're all about, we don't discriminate anybody. Everybody's welcome to have to come try beer, even if you're a newbie, even if you're, you know, a geek. Basically, we're not beer snobs. That's like our whole thing. We're beer geeks. We're learning. And as we learn too, we, you know, educate if they're open. Like Eddie's had customers here that have never drank beer. He has converted them into like intense beer people that come in here now with like Untappd. And I'm like, who are you? Like, you used to never do this. But yes, yeah, so what we really liked about them is that everybody's independently owned, and most of them are family owned. And they kind of like help us lead the way into, you know, opening the store and stuff like that. And they're there to help us, but they also give us like work, our creativity. We could do whatever, not whatever we want, but like they allow us to be open about what we want to do and have suggestions. And most of the time they just let us do what we want, as long as it's, you know, within their branding and that, you know, it's obviously good and like we're not doing anything bad. But yeah, we went that route just because I come from retail back in the day, like when I was young, but as far as craft beer retail, we wanted a guidance in that. And that's why we kind of went with them, because we found that they were like very knowledgeable. They're amazing people. Like if you guys search them, they have like 50 stores already.
I didn't even know. So what made you guys choose to go to a franchise versus being like...
So number one is the money. Obviously, the money is it's a lot. I mean, even though we were saving a lot of money, it's It's very expensive to open a business, especially a craft beer business, especially because of the inventory and everything. And then the guidance, like I said, like we don't come from a craft beer. They guided us a lot. They're very knowledgeable people. They also come from a restaurant background as well.
Oh, that
so
helps.
That helps us too. Yeah, they're amazing. Like I love them. I'm like, we got really lucky because usually people frown upon franchises, but they, like I said, everybody's independently owned, family owns, you know, you kind of do your thing as long as it's within the branding.
Yeah, from a little bit of experience, actually in 2013, I was about to buy into a security franchise called Signal 88. The thing I like about a franchise model is that support that you get, especially being freshly new business owners, just great to have that backbone of, hey, we already know how to pave the way, but you guys can expand and do what you need to do. But this is a way. It's not the way, but it's a way. And it gives you guys guidance. And I think that's
very important, to succeed
important
too.
For you guys, you know, it's
like
it's,
everything, like little things that you can't even imagine, they were there to help us through it. So I'm grateful that we're a part of, and they're awesome. I mean, they're doing it right. We're almost the 50th store. So, and it's kind of cool. Like they're kind of, it's like a kind of like a community thing. So we really like that. You know, they don't, you know, like I said, the beer love, everybody is welcome. Like even the other stores, like everything is about community. And that's a big part of what we do here. Like we're all about supporting local. That's kind of something that sets us apart from other businesses, because we're a business. Why would you support somebody else? We support everybody. Like that's, you know, that's our model.
That's great, man. That's great. So marketing. I know you're the marketing guru.
I mean, I'm not the marketing guru.
Well, marketing guru.
I mean, I guess here, because I like beer, but okay.
So like what marketing approach do you guys take to kind of get more people aware of what you guys are, what you're doing, and to get more butts in seats and get people here?
So I use a lot of social media, obviously, because that's a new, it's free. Yeah. Why not?
Free
Instagram. We do everything. Untapped is, people don't realize this. Untapped is a form of marketing. You put your draft, you put your beers from the cooler in there. People will come. Like the people who love their Untapped, they will come. That's something that we are always doing. TripAdvisor, even though people forget about that. TripAdvisor, Google, Yelp. We also do paid ads as well, but I'm telling you that probably 90% of our customers come from free content that we put on Instagram, Facebook, and all these other things like Google, Yelp, and everything.
What paid are you guys doing?
We do Google and Yelp paid ads. We sometimes do Facebook and Instagram as well. And then I also do Facebook groups. I mean, that's free. But we do Facebook groups for like, you know, like For Lardo, craft beer lovers. Like we get a lot of people through there. Twitter as well. Like, yeah, it's... There's so much free tools out there that people don't realize it. And when I've noticed, like, if I don't post one day, the sales are lower. So it's all about being consistent with your brand, like posting. It's also important, at least for me, quality over quantity, just because I come from a photography background. Like I am very particular about my things. I also like to make sure that the image tells a story. That's
authentic.
A big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like stock photos. That's, I can't stand that. Yeah, like,
nobody likes stock photos. So y'all using stock photos. Shame on you.
It's just me. I like to see a place that's like, I want to see the people, or I want to see what the beer is, you know, stories of the owners, like things like that.
No, it's awesome. Yeah. We see it too. I mean, we see both of you guys in the media, and that makes like,
people like to know.
People
that
like
stuff.
To see that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like my dog, for example. People love seeing my dog. I'm like, he's not even. I'm like, you know, we always try to do like the sunset or like spotlight. You know, a local, like the girl that comes here, she with the cookies and like our empanadas or.
Who does your cookies?
Julie from Sweet Flower Bakery.
Nice.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Shout out to Julie.
Yeah, and Carla does the Los Tanitos, our empanadas.
Nice.
So we do that too, and I've noticed that like people like to know. People don't want to just see beer. You know, in the beginning when I was doing it, because I come from a different, completely different background of doing photography for beer, it was more like fashion and stuff like that. I noticed that people want to see more of like, you know, who is behind the camera, like the owners, the dog, your sunsets, you know, For Lardo. What's so special about For Lardo? You know, things like that.
They love
is
to see
what
you guys tick, you know, behind the scenes of what makes this place.
Yeah.
This place. You
yeah.
Know,
people
like,
love that.
And that's authentic. And I think that more places need to do that. You know,
yeah,
the show
definitely.
About authentic self is, it's not only about beer because the beer is great, but it's also about the environment, the feel and everything else. So you
definitely.
Guys are doing a really good job in capturing.
Thank
that.
You.
Not for sure. High five. So next, man, let's talk about that beer garden, man. I love that place.
Yes.
And I'm super stoked, and hopefully this rain holds up on, you know, the two events that we're going to do over here.
Oh, yeah.
The one
definitely.
Event, definitely. I don't care if it's raining. Everyone has to bring an umbrella.
Bring umbrellas.
Hopefully it doesn't rain. And I'm not going to wait. The 10-10, everybody. It doesn't rain. But, yeah, let's talk about that, man. Like, what inspired you to get this location? Was it because of that?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, you know, it, it's really funny. We actually came here. There used to be a coffee shop here called The Revenant. We loved it. We used to hang out back in the gardens at right now.
When it used to be the place.
Face the river and we'd drink coffee and have a snack and that kind of stuff. It was awesome, awesome vibe. And we actually came here one day as we were looking for different locations.
Well, you're missing a big part. We almost signed a lease at Fat Village. Yeah. Cause we like street art a lot. That's like our thing, like Wynwood, like, but we came right after we saw a place. We came here to eat at the diner across the street and I saw the for rent sign and I said, why don't we go and see? And he was like, it's going to be super expensive. Like the water's in the back. It was actually cheaper here with all this space than the small little place that we had over there in Fat Village with no parking.
So bigger space, so, far from.
It's crazy. I was like, you see, it never hurts to ask.
Divine intervention, man. Cause this place is definitely.
Dope. Yeah, it's huge. We didn't think we were supposed to be just a bottle shop. Like we're grateful that we have these two other places. Like it's insane. It was like a blessing basically.
For sure. We stumbled on it. And we said, this is it. This is
so thank God we didn't sign that freaking lease on the place because then we would have no parking.
Things work out for these
characters. Yeah, definitely.
But definitely this is an awesome spot. So what makes you guys different, you think, than any other bottle shop? Or like what just makes you guys a standout, not even against other bottle shops, just what makes you guys different?
I think it's our approach and how we talk and treat our customers. We're not beer snobs. We're beer geeks. Yeah. We love beer and we want to share that love of beer.
Passion,
you know, whether you're just getting into this, you know, craft beer, whether you've never had a craft beer in your life, you know, or you're like a seasoned pro and you know everything, you know, we like to be able to talk and learn new things and educate customers that are new. And education is a big part of what sets us apart in that sense, in that interaction with customers and just teaching people, customers, about, you know, things, different beers and different styles and histories of different styles and where things come from, history of beer, how this beer came about, having that knowledge and sharing it and being open to everybody at the same time and saying like, hey, you know, I'm not going to treat you different because you've never had a craft beer in your life. In fact, I take that as a challenge and I say, you know what?
He has a converter group that he's done.
I've converted a few people and those are like my favorite customers. My favorite customers are those customers.
I think that's cool.
I don't like beer. I don't really like beer.
And he's like, wait a second. He's
I got you.
Yeah, because I mean, it's all because they haven't tried the beer, you know, like he tries to convert my dad all the time. My dad's like a die hardcore fan of like Corona. But you know, he's open, like seeing the Hispanic people tend to not be like so into craft beer. And that's something that we're like, we're Hispanic. Like you know, if you're open to it, I'm open to it. We'll, you know, show you what different beers we have. You know, maybe they're just drinking the wrong beer. You know, everything's different with the palates. If they like wine, you know, Corona, there's a, you know,
cocktails. Fruity cocktails. You like fruity cocktails? All right, cool. I'm gonna introduce you to a fruity sour.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And they've never heard of that stuff.
You know, it's on par. Yeah, it's good. You know, it's something different. You know, not every beer tastes like Corona. Not every beer tastes like
Heineken. I think that's important. Education is
the education. And being nice. I mean, that's how we're. It's when you come here, you feel like you're at somebody's like house.
Oh,
that's
sure.
how it feels. You know?
Something that, you know, the owners of the franchise have told us and something that, like, you know, I believe in their philosophy 1,000% as they say, you know, hospitality is a hug.
100%.
Customer service is a handshake. You know what I'm saying? And that's what that's the approach we take to every customer.
Repeat that one more time for everyone who listens.
Hospitality is a hug. Customer service is a handshake. You know, so.
That's straight fire.
That's the approach that we take. And,
one more time again.
Hospitality is a hug. Customer service is a handshake. Which I think is said the other way around. Customer service is a handshake. Hospitality is a hug. Yeah. You know? But either way, you get the idea.
Yeah, we're very nice. Even with our mask on, we smile. Like, even if we're having a bad day, because customer service is a big part of us. Even if we're having a terrible day, you will not see it. We welcome everybody. We're nice. Like, why not? I want to feel welcome when I go somewhere. I'm not going to treat somebody bad because I'm having a bad day or because, you know, they don't like beer. Like, and that's not the way it goes.
And everyone's included. Yeah. We love everybody, you know, from all walks of life. Whatever you do, we don't care. We have a love for beer. You have a love for beer. We're going to share.
So to all halfway beer drinkers or non-beer drinkers, definitely come in and check this place out because they will put you on game, right? Next, let's move on. Like, what kind of events do you guys host here and what kind of events can folks actually rent the space out to host?
Yeah. So, I mean, we host monthly events. Now with COVID's like been a little toned down because we want to make sure everybody, you know, everything's done safely. So we do host events. We have a cigar and beer pairing event every month. Do beer and yoga twice a month where you balance your beer on your head and poses. Yeah, it's really cool. Like it's Ailes and Asanas.
Oh, Ailes and Asanas.
Yeah, she's awesome. She comes twice a month here. Yeah, she used to do it once a month and people love it, especially with our space. They're like, and now they're going to have the turf. So it's going to be perfect for them. But yeah, they do that. We do almost everything. We always like to throw ideas out and we'll do it once. You know, if it doesn't turn out good, then we're like, you know, we won't do it again, but why not try? You know, we have a dog event every month. It's a happy hour dog event where we have dog vendors. We have happy hour twice a week. So pretty much we do a little bit of everything. As far as events, we have had to close down the tap room for events that people come and like they pay. There is a possibility that you could come and rent our space out for like a wedding, or people actually want to get married in the beer garden. So I mean, why not? They'll do weddings or birthday parties. We have a lot of birthday parties. And then we also have like a moon kayakers that come in the back too. So we get a lot of people, traffic from paddleboarders and kayaks, boats,
yeah,
you know.
The water is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like that's literally why we remodeled the beer garden. Because we're like, people want to, like, we want to give it that homey vibe. Like, if you're in somebody's house, you know, kicking it, you know, like, I hate going to places and you're like, you know, you're uncomfortable or the people are mean. Like, I wanted it to be a homey vibe. So that's like what our events are, you know. Now we're going to have a Yelpy Elite event coming up. We're still working the terms on that, but that's something to keep an eye on. But yeah, we pretty much do everything. So, you know, follow our Facebook. I mean, we try, you know, if anybody has ideas and they want to do something, you know, we partner a lot with Lewis Beard. Beard, brews, and food.
Shout out to Lewis.
Yeah, shout out to Lewis. He helps us with the cigar and beer pairing event. We also do bottle shares and stuff like that because, I mean, it's like somebody's house. We like to do like a whole beer community thing back there. So we're now brainstorming more ideas of events, you know, as now things are opening up and how to do it safely, because that's the kicker. You know, we got to make sure everybody feels safe because, you know, we want to cater to everybody, you know.
For sure, for sure. So what can people expect from CBC in the future?
In the future. Ooh, okay. So we're still remodeling our beer garden. There's more things to come there, which I'm very excited about. I'm not going to say what it is, but more things are coming back there. We actually just got, which nobody knows, which you guys will be the first, we got a beer slushy machine. So you could have beer slushies. You know, people love that stuff. So I'm like, okay. And then we're just going to have more events. We're going to have a relaunch party for the beer garden coming soon as well. Yeah. And hopefully in the future, because this is my goal, is to open a second location, but we will get there when we get there. I want to have a second location of a bottle shop only somewhere else. You know, we'll see, maybe Miami or Palm Beach, but
I look forward to that.
You know, why not? Bring it to everybody, you know?
Lewis is here.
Shout out to Lewis.
Shout out to Lewis. We're just talking about it.
So yeah, pretty much, I mean, that's what we have in mind. We're thinking also of remodeling the tap room, make it more homey as well. But yeah, we're always trying to brainstorm things to bring it to people because we're normal people. We're not like anybody famous, influencer. No, we're normal people that like beer and we like to do cool things with beer. So we want to show people, like, we come up with events and we're like, this event will be cool. Let's like do it and see people like it. Why not, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So if you guys have ideas, bring it. We're open to everything. Like, that's what I like about us, that we don't close a door. I mean, obviously, if we could do it, given like rules and permits and stuff like that, we're a sense of community, like with our customers, with, you know, we have customers that make us things like our tap handles. Kyle, shout out to Kyle. Like, we are really welcome to everybody. Like, I can't say it enough. Like, that's what I love about us, because there's not a lot of places like that, you know?
Love it.
I like went on a rant, but yeah.
Right on.
Just one more thing I want to say.
Yeah.
Hospitality is a hug. Customer service is a handshake. If that's the way it is, or vice versa.
Or vice versa. But I mean, they both sound good. So.
Teaching notes. Make sure you guys write that down. So if anybody's in the South Florida area, please do yourself a favor and check out Craft Beer Cellar. They're located at 2301 Northeast 26th Street, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And if you're from out of town, the zip code is 33305. Their website is craftbeercellar.com. Facebook, you can find them at CBC FTL, is an abbreviation for Fort Lauderdale. On Instagram, you can find them CBC_FTL. Are you guys ready to send us off?
Oh, yeah.
Think you got it, man? You think you got it, Eddie?
Craft Flash community, go out there, support your local brewery, support your local bottle shop. Peace out and beer love.
And beer love.
Peace and love. And be out.
We'll do a cheers.
Cheers.